Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast. And
if you missed it yesterday, the Texans had four guys make the Pro Bowl. Starters, Derek Stingley Jr. and Laremy Tunsil. We'll get to both of them in just a second. I was very excited to see Nico Collins and Joe Mixon make it because I feel like Mixon has been toiling in a backfield behind a line that's not done a great job of opening holes for him, and he's had a really good season individually. And I was really excited to see Nico make it because he was the best receiver in football when he went out with the hamstring injury. And neither of those guys were very high up the board on the fan list. So it just goes to show you how much respect they're getting from the players and coaches, which is the other two-thirds of the voting. Here was Nico Collins yesterday on the drive with Sterner and Hughley talking about making the Pro Bowl.
Pro Bowl wide receiver.
Yeah.
First of all, congrats. Hey, congrats, man.
For sure. I mean,
you've earned it. You deserve it.
No doubt. I appreciate it.
Talk to us a little bit about just, definitely, you know, what that kind of thing means to you.
Yeah, it means a lot, man. I feel like personally, it's a personal goal. You know, I feel like everybody want to get to a Pro Bowl, you know, be selected all pro. You know, I feel like that's a goal for everybody. And for me, it's definitely one of my goals this year and always. Always been one of my goals, man. But I'm happy and blessed be able to have this opportunity, man, and go be part of the Pro Bowl, man. There's no better feeling. You know, I feel like it's a great goal, a great, you know, opportunity to have, and just say, you know, you made it to the Pro Bowl. You know, I feel like not too many people get that opportunity, you know, but I'm blessed, man, to have it and to be selected, you know, to go out there in Orlando, man, just have fun. You know, it's no better feeling, for sure.
Probably should have made it last year, if we're being honest. Like, this is one of those things, those phenomenons with the Pro Bowl, Seth, that unless you're a guy who comes in as an anointed guy into the league, it's almost like you got to earn your stripes. It happens a lot on the offensive and defensive line where you got to actually be good for a few years before they'll name you a Pro Bowler.
It's weird. You got to earn entry into the pool of candidates.
That's
almost
right. That's right.
Yeah, so like last year he earned entry into the pool of candidates. Unless you, like you said, really break through or you're a big name to begin with.
And
I think that with Nico, the fun thing about him, and we talked about this with Andre a little bit in the pregame last week. This is the only good thing about last week's game, actually.
It was the pregame with Andre Johnson and David Anderson.
The only good part of my day or weekend. Yeah, and Drew Hodgson was there with us. But just like with Andre, there is something about a defensive back seeing somebody that big that can move as fast as he does, that it puts that little sphincter tightening element into it. And then when that big guy can also slow down and hit a stop or, you know, break over the middle or whatever, it's really, really hard to cover the guy. It's hard to run with him downfield, but in even just knowing how much cushion to keep, when to break on a double move or anything like that, he's a headache. And I think people now respect him as that kind of a guy of like, man, it's really hard to play a clean game versus Nico.
Yeah.
So it's one of the few bright spots of the offense this year that I can feel good about going on into the future. Like, it's been nice having Joe Mixon. I think without Joe Mixon, obviously, they would. I don't know how many games will they have won if they didn't have Joe Mixon. Let's say Damian Pierce is the lead running back. If Joe Mixon got hurt and never came back,
that's a great question. I'd have to go back and see which games it was that Joe Mixon kind of put the cape on for.
Yeah,
because I don't think, as much as I like Damian Pierce, I don't think he's capable of doing some of the things Joe Mixon did in those games this
year.
He does not have that club in his bag.
But because Joe Mixon's an older running back, it's not like I feel awesome about him and that he's going to be here for the next 7 years. Where with Nico, it's nice for me to go into fantasy land every now and then and think, okay, well, if they fix things out on fix things up on offense ever, this is a guy who should be a mainstay for a long time.
Here are the games that Joe Mixon ran for 100 yards in. He's run for 100 yards in 7 games this year. The opener against Indianapolis, he was literally named the best offensive player in the AFC that week. So I think it's fair to say, like, that's one
game. That was a one-score game.
It was a one-score game. I think that's one game. The New England game, he ran for 102 yards on 13 carries, but Damian had a good game that game. That's Damian's one good game he's had this year.
That was a game. Well, in both of those guys, the running backs averaged less than 2 yards per carry on all the runs except for the two big runs.
The two big ones.
Yeah, like it wasn't like a steady grind of a game, but they probably would have won.
They won
game
by
anyway,
20. It's hard to say Joe Mixon's worth 20 points, you know. He ran for 115 and 2 touchdowns in the loss to Green Bay that they lost on the last second field. He was dynamic in that game. He had 2 touchdowns in that game. So they lost that game anyways. He had 106 yards and a touchdown in the game they lost to the Jets. That was a game where he was at like 85 yards at halftime, and then they just didn't do anything in the second half.
Yeah.
So they lost that game. He ran for 109 and 3 touchdowns against Dallas. That turned into a blowout that was actually a close game at halftime. That was, that was like, oh, wow, they scored in the second half. Go figure.
I could easily see them dropping that somehow without Joe Mixon.
Could you?
There.
Okay, so we'll give it to him. That's two. The other game he ran for 100 yards was the win over Jacksonville. He ran for 100 yards against Indianapolis in week 8, the game they won by a field goal. I don't think they win that game without Joe. I think it's safe to say he's worth like 2.5 wins to them this year, something like that.
And but then the other side of the coin is, man, whenever they face a good run defense, other than Green Bay, whenever they face a good run defense, it's generally been Joe Mixon getting 2 yards per carry or less. And look, the Texans have the second most, they have the second highest rate of the running back getting hit in the backfield in the NFL. Like, there is just, it's, and Joe Mixon at times, like, I'm curious on some of his reads. Sometimes it feels like he's trying to break big ones a little too often. And I don't want to make too many excuses for any given player, but I think he's, the picture he's seeing down in and down out is making it really hard for him to trust the reads.
Yeah.
Because, like we said, he gets hit in the backfield a lot.
The games where he doesn't rush, if he doesn't rush for 100, he's out of the mix. Like, the best game he's had where he hasn't rushed for 100 yards was the Kansas City game a couple weeks ago where he went 14 carries for 57 yards. And other than that, it is the other games, 9 carries, 25 yards. 14 carries, 22 yards against Tennessee last time they played.
Yeah.
So that would be nice to see Mixon get going this time around against Tennessee. 20 against Detroit, 25 carries for 46 yards against the Lions. 12 carries, 23 yards against the Dolphins in a game I was told the offense was amazing that day. And then against Baltimore, everybody sucked. He had 9 carries for 26 yards. Damn, he was damn near prolific with 9 carries for 26 yards. So I was happy for Mixon that he made it. He put out a nice tweet, kind of, you know, propping up the Texans and Nick Caserio for believing in him. That's only the second time he's made the Pro Bowl. I was a little surprised by that. Like, Mixon's been around a while. I think this is his 8th season. That's only the second thing. The only other time he's made the Pro Bowl in his career, because he's been very consistent. The only other time was in 2021, the year the Bengals ended up going to the Super Bowl that year. He tweeted this, Mixon, honored to make the Pro Bowl. This achievement isn't about me. It's about the team. Shout out to the fans. Oh, thank you, Joe. Thanks to the guys up front and GM Nick Caserio for believing in me. Plan is to miss the Pro Bowl because the Texans are playing in the Super Bowl. And he puts his H's up and says, we are Texans. I like where your head's at, Joe Mixon. I like where your head's at. Good job. The stat that is going to infuriate Texan fans, because I'm already seeing it, text message. How the hell did Tunsil make it? You know, and you
Tunsil's a really good pass protector.
You broke this down yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a really good pass protector, but he's not nearly at the level of the genuinely elite offensive tackles when it comes to being good as a pass protector and a run blocker. And that has hurt the team versus the Titans last time. He just got manhandled versus the Titans.
Yeah.
And he also, He commits penalties at a breakneck pace. He's a league leader in penalties all three, which doesn't hurt him in the voting.
No.
We know as a team that it hurts him. Like, we could, especially early in the season, drives were killed specifically because of Laremy Tunsil.
Yep.
But he games the system.
Yeah.
He knows that his pass, those false starts, they help him. It helps him when he gets an extreme jump on the snap count, but it doesn't hurt his pass blocking grade. Right. And people look at that and they think, oh, well, there you go. But, like, as a fan of the team, you know how much it hurts.
Sure, sure. And if you're upset that he's starting in the Pro Bowl, don't look at your fellow fans. He wasn't even in the top 10 for tackles in voting in the Pro Bowl. It's the other two-thirds that put him in there, the players and the coaches. That's where he got his respect from. This is the stat that I think a lot of Texan fans would be like, are you kidding me? Laremy Tunsil has now made the Pro Bowl 5 of the 6 seasons he's been a Houston Texan. He made none before he got here. So they traded for him. They traded those two first-round picks and a second, and he's made the Pro. The only year he didn't make the Pro Bowl was the year that David Culley was here, where he had that mysterious wrist injury for 12 games or whatever it was.
Yeah.
He now has tied J.J. Watt for number of Pro Bowls as a Houston, or period, but as a Houston Texan. J.J. Watt, I know it sounds strange, but J.J. Watt made it 5 times. He made it in 2012, 13, 14, and 15. Then he was hurt 16 and 17, came back from all those injuries, was all pro and pro bowler again in 18, and then got hurt again in 19, COVID year in 2020. They just weren't very good. And then he didn't make it in Arizona. But I think that would surprise a lot of Texan fans if you told them Laremy Tunsil and J.J. Watt have been to the same number of Pro Bowls now.
He's, I look at Laremy Tunsil kind of like the character from Major League, Roger Dorn.
Yeah.
The third baseman who doesn't want to field grounders because he needs to protect his face. Like, he doesn't have an appetite for the gritty side of football, baseball.
He's got a huge contract.
Football and or baseball.
Yeah.
But he has a huge contract. He's kind of a star.
Yeah.
But he's, he just doesn't play the gritty part of football that you really want to see. He's just so far away from Trent Williams and Penei Sewell and guys like that. And it's frustrating that when he's out in space, as athletic as he is, he's awful out in space too, on screens and everything like that. So it's never going to endear yourself to the fan base when you're a guy who's, especially when you play offensive line, where you're kind of a finesse offensive lineman.
Yeah, he's going to wind up. I mean, if he stays here and he gets another contract, which, you know, whatever, we'll see what happens. He might wind up having one of the strangest Texan resumes of all time. Like, Andre Johnson made the Pro Bowl the most times of any Texan, 7.
Yeah.
If you were to ask me, like, can Laremy Tunsil pass Andre Johnson, I would say absolutely he can. You know, like, they're going to move on from at least one of the highly paid offensive linemen this offseason. I feel strongly that they should. I don't know that they will. And they're all sort of in the same, and when I'm referring to Tunsil, Titus Howard, and Shaq Mason, they're all sort of in similar situations in that you're not upside down on their contracts, but you ain't saving a lot by cutting them. There's a big dead money hit. They're almost like break-even players. They ain't cutting Tunsil. You know?
I still get frustrated with Bill O'Brien because, remember, Trent Williams, in the year that he held out the entire season in Washington, he was living in Missouri City.
Yeah.
He was there. You could have come and gotten him. And
for a third and a fifth is what he went for.
For a third and a fifth is what he ended up going for to San Francisco. And everything that Laremy Tunsil is not, Trent Williams is.
Yeah.
And there is a culture issue on the offense in general right now, but especially on the offensive line, I think, where there's a lack of toughness, there's a lack of grittiness, there's a lack of appetite for violence. There's no appetite for violence there.
Nope.
They're too well fed.
Nope.
They've filled up on Christmas sugar cookies, and they've got no appetite for the bloodier part of the sport.
You're absolutely right.
This offense disgusts me. As a whole, with individual exceptions, individual players that are genuinely
who's exempt?
Teams.
Who's on the Seth Payne exempt list right now on the offense?
Okay, I'm gonna leave out some of the younger guys because they still have to establish themselves.
Sure,
like, Kate Stover's not swarm yet because he's not a good enough tight end.
Yeah.
But he's still young and he's still new to the position.
I'm excited about Kate Stover, yeah.
Joe Mixon, Nico Collins.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
No CJ Stroud.
Not yet.
Okay.
He's got to prove himself as an NFL quarterback.
Okay.
But has CJ Stroud proven himself as an NFL quarterback?
Completely, and totally. No, I mean, but almost by definition, he could have a good year this year, and I would say he hadn't yet because it's only been 2 seasons.
Because you got to do it. You got to make it for a few years.
Yeah.
CJ has the potential to, but he didn't. And there's reasons he didn't play well this year.
Mm-hmm.
But look, he's the leader of the offense, and this is a soft offense.
Yeah.
So, he's one of the younger guys, I guess, that I'm going to, like, I'll give Jarrett Patterson and Juice Scruggs an exemption for now because they're still young players.
Sure.
But the overall core of this offense, it's not a tough offense.
Yeah.
It is chock full of soft dudes.
Yep.
And you can't play championship football that way.
No.
Tank Dell's not soft.
No.
I'll give you that. Now, he might end up ultimately, maybe he's too small to play football in the NFL. I don't know. But he's certainly not soft.
Yeah.
So there's a few guys, but it's the some. But then I think there's other guys that might be kind of on the fence. But like Shaq Mason, I don't think he's soft, but he's old and he's not playing well. And there's nothing that if I didn't know anything of Shaq Mason before he got to Houston, or if I only started watching the Texans this year, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, that's the kind of guy you need to have on the
right.
He got thrown away like he was a nylon shopping bag by Tavondre Sweat a few weeks ago.
He did. Yeah.
This offense, there's nothing tough about this offense.
Nope.
The sum total of it all, even though you have some guys on there who are a tougher element, they cannot run the ball. They look checked out emotionally at times. It's soft and it's pathetic, and something's got to change. Maybe it clicks, but man, I don't know what they think. I don't know what they think rolling CJ out there for a quarter or two versus the Titans this time around is going to prove that they haven't been able to prove over the first 17 weeks.
Yeah, we're beyond the point where I'm expecting it to, like, that point was long ago where I held out hope, like, okay. You know, maybe so. Like my maybe something clicks was getting Nico back.
Yeah.
You know, you get Nico because then you got Mixon healthy, you got Tank healthy, you lost Diggs, but if you got Nico and Tank, that's what your offense was last year when it was really clicking in the middle part of the season there, and that was my maybe something will click, and it didn't. You know, spurts, little spurts,
yeah.
And that's what Bobby Slowa keeps pointing to. We know we're capable of it, and it's like, okay, well, I can make a three-pointer every now and then. It doesn't mean I should be a sniper for the Rockets, you know what I mean? Like,
I'll say, look, with CJ, for instance, it's been cumulative, and it's shown that over the course of the season, I think in some respects his decision-making has gotten worse, especially in clutch moments because the pass protection is so bad. But I think he missed an opportunity, and he made some bad decisions in that Green Bay game in the fourth quarter. In Kansas City, he basically single-handedly squandered the opportunity to stay in that football game by a horrendous sequence of events down in the red zone in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
He's made some bad decisions in fourth quarters that he needs to get over, and regardless of the circumstances around him, he can't be the reason that they're losing in the fourth quarter.
No.
And he has been a few times this year. He's been the reason they're losing in that moment.
Yeah, it totally feels to me like this needs an offseason kind of thing. I'm not saying they can't win a couple playoff games. I think they can. But as you've pointed out many times, it ain't going to be on the back of the offense. It's going to be defense turning the other team over, special teams giving you short fields and invisible yards in the return game, and probably Kaimi needing to straighten out whatever's going on with him and becoming what he was the first 5 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
You're going to be kicking a lot of field goals probably if the trend holds true. The offense feels like let's get to April or June. Yeah.
Look, you know, I'm very careful in using the S word. I don't like to call teams or units or anything soft because it's a very, very loaded word in football. So I use it very sparingly. There have been bad Texans teams where I don't think they were as soft as this offense is.
Yeah.
There's nothing about it that's intimidating or tough or physical or anything. They get their asses handed to them by good run defenses.
Yep.
They don't even put up a fight. It's really bad.
Yeah.
So and that's where, man, whatever the systemic changes need to be, if D'Amico doesn't see and recognize that, I'd be astounded.
Yeah.
If Caserio doesn't see and recognize that, I'd be astounded.
Yeah.
So there's got to be wholesale change, both in personnel and something coaching-wise. I don't – whatever they think the issue is, and maybe for whatever reason, they don't think it's Bobby Slowick specifically. Maybe it's they think it's specifically Chris Strausser or something else. There's got to be change because you can't keep rolling this way.
Yep. Is the Texans' likely playoff opponent having some dissension within the ranks right now? We will let you hear some audio. We'll let you be the judge. That's coming up next.